Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads. This is the only Linux podcast that is available as an NFT. So, yeah. No, that's the second time we tried that joke and it didn't go well the second time. So I'm just going to use this one. As usual, I'm Shane.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Mike.
Yeah. So, as usual, I don't know how to start podcasts ever. But today we've got a great episode where we're going to talk about only a few kind of minor topics. No, not minor topics. I mean, three, like fewer topics, but big ones. So, Mike has been trying out GNOME 40.
Well, I have actually, not briefly. I installed it on Bare Metal and I, on Fedora 34. And I tried it, I played around with it, and then my main Fedora 33 kind of crashed. So I did the only reasonable thing and installed Fedora 34, but with KDE on that one. So I'm all on Fedora 34. I've tried GNOME and I've tried KDE. GNOME 40 is remarkable from, like, compared to... Yeah, I don't even know why I'm talking about KDE in this sense, because I just have to wedge in a KDE conversation in any GNOME conversation to keep the balance, I guess. But anyway, I tried GNOME 40 and I loved the touch gestures. Unfortunately, these days I don't spend that much time with the big laptop on my lap because it's up on a stand and I have a keyboard underneath it and a mouse. But if I still have a large touchpad laptop to work a lot of hours on, then I would definitely consider GNOME 40, because the smoothness of the gestures, where you move your hand around the touchpad and it flows from one desktop to the other, and between the overviews, if you do it from top to the bottom, that's amazing. The other thing's not so great. I tried to log in and update for and do the recording today on it. Unfortunately, couldn't get it to even acknowledge my microphone that's coming from the USB interface. It saw the output but not the input. Unlike KDE, there are not that many settings, so whatever there was no way to do it. So unfortunately, I switched back to the KDE. But I like the gestures. I like the fact that you can, and I think that's also a 40 thing, that you can group and reorganize the icons in the dashboard. Obviously, I've always been very keen on the GNOME way of on the GNOME workflow, if not on the functionality of the DE, or the missing functionality of the DE. But I really, really enjoyed it, and I wish, I hope it will come to KDE as well, where I'd be able to use these gestures. It's really a different kettle of fish when you compare it to something like, these things existed before. You could have three-finger gesture that would change your desktop or workspaces, but you would kind of make the gesture and then it would happen. With the GNOME 40 way of doing things, it's like you move it around and it's smoothly, like on Android or like on Mac, or like on the Mac, it basically changes smoothly as you drag, and that's a completely different world.
Yeah, that's the key difference. That's really interesting, because when you first mentioned that the three-finger swipe, you can do that on the touchpad now in GNOME 40, that reminds me a lot of Mac, and that's a feature I really relied on when I worked on a Mac. I was actually going to ask you a question, but you answered it right there. Was that, does the three-finger swipe follow the movement on the touchpad? So yeah.
It's not perfect, but it might be my touchpad also. Like, this is Wayland, and obviously with the NVIDIA card in my laptop, it's not perfect. And also, like, this is beta release, what I'm talking about. This is Fedora 34, which is not out yet and won't be for quite a long time. So, I hope improvements are coming, but it is fluently moving around. It's magic.
For me, my toes into this experience was, leading up to this, we all kind of agreed that we're going to say, hey, if GNOME 40 is coming out, and the new Fedora beta has it by default, might be worth checking out. So, installed it on GNOME boxes, And so all my experience is in a virtual machine. So I did not get to experience those touchpad gestures. Those don't tend to appeal to me that much. I'm not saying that I wouldn't check it out, but I might decide to opt for something else. It's not a wow factor must have thing for me. Same thing with on the Mac. I mean, I'm sure the Mac implementation of that is absolutely brilliant. It just doesn't appeal to me. It's not a wow factor must try this thing aspect of it. So the fact that I was trying it out in a virtual machine is probably not that much of a disservice to my experience of it. In terms of the unified design of it, it seems to be a lot more seamless. It seems to be that their design philosophy is getting more refined and is more prevalent throughout the operating system versus the previous GNOME implementations, GNOME 3. They're not quite calling this GNOME 4, but GNOME 40 or whatever you want to call it. It's a refinement on that. And fair play to the GNOME developers and not do what they did between 2 and 3, which was say, hey, we're moving to a new version. Oh, by the way, we're breaking all backwards compatibility. So F you guys. So thankfully, I'm commending them for this. They've chosen the design philosophy and they're only refining upon that. And in terms of the UI refinement in going in that direction, it seems to be really well done. Even in the beta version of Fedora that I was looking at, everything looks unified. The icon design looks nice. Even the default theme that I've shit on previously. The reason why I'm shitting on it is because I'm like, that doesn't look the best. I kind of want to change it to something else. This, if I was in front of this and if I had to use this as a workstation, no problem whatsoever. The touchpad gestures hit or miss for me. I may just resort to using a mouse and keyboard and interacting with it that way. But no disservice to the design of it. It looks refined. It looks, all the animations look super smooth. Everything looks refined. And in Jupiter Broadcasting on the latest Linux Unplugged, I think Chris was mentioning that he has had it on bare metal. And for things like when he was putting in a command into the terminal and it was prompting for his sudo password, he said that he was able to use the fingerprint unlock you're looking for my sudo password, fingerprint, and off you go. That level of refinement is something that you normally see in the likes of Mac or Windows. So genuine fair folks to them. Like, that amount of refinement, it seems to be that it's all adding up. And the only way you can get to that level of refinement is if you had GNOME 3 previously and now you're moving on to something different. You're standing on the previous efforts by your design team, by your engineering team, rather than completely pulling the rug out and changing it to something completely different. Whether the old extensions or third-party extensions will work, or is it the case of that backwards compatibility is going to be broken, who knows? But in terms of their refinement, like, genuine fair folks to them, it looks really nice, looks well designed, transitions, everything like that seems to be A1 as far as I can tell.
We actually, I think, know if, we can tell because I think it was also on Linux Action News or Unplugged. They were saying that the third-party extensions are going to have to be updated specifically for GNOME 40, and they might not work if the developer doesn't set it. So, you know, they used to do that if the developer didn't set that your GNOME version was compatible with the extension, then it wouldn't work. You wouldn't install it, and it's going to be the same again because, I'm not sure exactly why. I don't remember, but they have reintroduced this.
Yep. So, I'm looking forward to seeing it when it comes out in a stable form, in its vanilla form, and also looking forward to seeing what the likes of Canonical with Ubuntu do their take on it, and Pop OS, their Pop Shell and things like that. What would their take on GNOME 40 be? So I'm excited to see both the vanilla and customized versions of it in the future. But the vanilla version looks nice, and I wouldn't say that about GNOME 3 necessarily, but the vanilla version of this looks nice and refined, so fair play to them.
Yeah. Based on what I've heard about the feature set, I would be quite interested in trying out a distro with stock GNOME, for this iteration. And I can never really say that in the past because stock GNOME was kind of boring, you know? So, it was always the distros that sort of improved upon GNOME that I would go for. Like right now I'm using Elementary, which is the DE is Pantheon, but it's loosely based on GNOME, I believe, or just based upon it.
I think it's GTK, just like but yeah.
And it's got all the niceties of GNOME, but it's definitely not GNOME. So it'd be nice to be able to use stock GNOME and be kind of impressed by it. Not that I was unimpressed by previous versions, but the 3 kind of upset me, you know. It wasn't what I was used to. It went in a very different direction. So I still remember that. Mike?
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm thinking which distribution would you be able to use if you were on stock GNOME? So Fedora, Workstation, and Silverblue. Probably Arch if you put it together yourself. Endeavor OS, possibly. But yeah, I'm on Endeavor on one of my laptops. I'm not sure if that's stock KDE, but I think it is. So it would be stock GNOME on that one. Or very, very subtly changed or themed. But other than that, I don't think you have much. You have much choice, you know. Unless you go like with some more esoteric, but out of the major distributions, only these would offer you the stock GNOME. Or maybe Debian actually, but then it wouldn't be the newest one. Then it would be like, I don't know, 3. Whatever. 36.
Fedora always tends to be the stock GNOME showcase, and it's always the latest GNOME because Fedora is kind of semi bleeding edge. I mean, I'm not saying it's arch bleeding edge, but it is kind of, they do try to keep up to speed with whatever it is, and it's always been a stock GNOME showcase. So that's probably, if you want to experience stock GNOME, I'll probably try whenever Fedora 34 becomes stable.
Fedora is a nice distro. I mean, I've used Fedora before and I liked it, but you know, there's a lot of ramping up there. You know, there's a lot of getting all those, you know, the non-free stuff into it, and you can go through like you can find an article on the internet that says 10 things to do after installing Fedora, but like that only goes so far, because like if you're into any kind of niche hobbies or any shit like that, then you're gonna run into stuff that you need once in a while. Little example is like Ardour. I mean, it sounds like it might be small fries to other people, but with Ardour, you have to ensure that there's like a real-time module enabled in your kernel, because that's important for audio. So that's not always obvious, that kind of stuff. So that's my issue with Fedora. I mean, there's a bit of a ramping up period while you kind of tweak it to how you like it. solve all those little niggly dependency issues that you get once in a while.
It got better. As I said before, I have an NVIDIA card in the laptop, and it's not as complicated as it used to be to install the proper drivers for it and have it work with the non-free drivers. But having said that, like, it's nowhere near the level of PopOS, which basically offers you, yeah, here's the distro for NVIDIA. I use that one. So it's not as good as PopOS that will basically tell you, here's the ISO for NVIDIA. Use that and you won't have, and you just, it will just work out of the box. So there are differences. But Fedora is good if you want to see where, like, mainstream Linux is going, because this Pulse Audio, and now basically I'm using Pipewire instead of that. Both the KDE and the GNOME spin of 34 is basically Wayland by default. I had to go back because it doesn't work that great with the NVIDIA cards. I think I didn't really dig into it, but I'm on X on both because. Actually, no, sorry, I'm telling a lie. The GNOME, I don't think it uses the card at all. And that just, the touch, I couldn't get the touch gestures to work in X. It worked just in Wayland for me. I didn't really dig into it again. So, yeah, there are, with Fedora, I think there is always like a base state where you can say, okay, everything in this state, they guarantee to work. So you follow the official documentation for hardware that has got that only requires like free stuff, well, reasonably free, and for like mainstream things, you'll be all right. As you said, if you get into a situation where you need something more niche, like for example when you need snaps to work without changing the fonts to empty boxes, for example, in the or stuff like that, you know, small little things that. That can bite you in the ass, then yeah, you will need some to do some research, and some work is some assembly is basically required.
Yeah. yeah, good points all around. So I think we need to get on to the next topic, because
you're saying we need to talk about Richard.
We need to talk about Richard. So for those that don't know, Richard Stallman of the GNU project and the Free Software, formerly of the Free Software Foundation. It was a public announcement to it wasn't today, sorry, it was yesterday, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, the 23rd or the 22nd.
We're recording this on Tuesday, so Tuesday the 24th of March. So Wednesday the 24th of March, I'm sorry. So yeah, he was reinstated as the to the board of directors of the Free Software Foundation, after previously having resigned over a controversy over his comments on topics such as paedophilia, underage sex, photographs of minors, necrophilia, his conduct towards women, his comments about various things that are published on his own website. And yeah, the internet was pissed off. So, it's really hard to articulate this kind of thing without being accused of being one thing or another, without being ismed or whatever. But like, and I don't say that in a, like a immature free speech warrior kind of way. Like I say it in the way of like, you know, a fucking dog on the street would tell you what he said wasn't acceptable. So why are we even having this discussion? It's not a political thing. It's just how I feel. What do you guys think?
Unfortunately, I'm frustrated at the fact of why is it coming up again? Why is he back? I mean, I thought this was put to bed. I thought he took his rap on his knuckles, which in my opinion should have been more, but you know, we can go back and forth on that. But to me, why is it coming and so seamless and without any announcement whatsoever? The Free Software, official Free Software Foundation Twitter, I think, or a Twitter account associated with it, it might be a community account, said the event organizers, the volunteers, the community members heard about this at the exact same time that everyone else did. And they, that was all the statement that they made. Free Software Foundation Europe said, we're a separate legal organization. We received like our donations, our board and everything like that is separate. We're just affiliated with the Free Software Foundation in the States. We want to distance ourselves from this, and we want to add our voices to the fact that the Stallman shouldn't be on the board of directors, especially since he's such a controversial figure, and the fact that the reversals seem to be so quick. Which both of those things are alarm bells as far as I'm concerned. He's no longer the leader, but it was going back into the board of directors. I mean, sure, if I'm sure he has technical merit. I mean, obviously, if he was involved in it for that length of time, I'd have no opinions on his technical ability. He could be a very good coder, he could be anything like that, or he might have very good insights into software or the design of software, or this is no comment on that whatsoever, but fucking make him an advisory role only, as in he cannot dictate or have any voice into the direction of the organization. Because of that, sure, if we need to ask his opinion on something, we can defer to him for his opinion, and then we'll go back to the board of directors saying, well, Richard Stallman said, advise this, should we go in that direction or should we not, rather than him being one of the vote casting members of the board. Make him an advisor to the board rather than insert him into the board again, especially so seamless after the controversy the previous time, which caused his resignation the first time.
That's the thing that rankles, is the lack of an explanation, the lack of an addressing the issues that people had. You know, that's what gets me the most. Mike, sorry.
So question one, why is Stallman coming back? Well, of his own, the guy lives on anger. From whatever I've seen on the internet, and there was one tweet that I will try to find and put it in the show notes. Somebody summarized something like, the guy knows no kindness. He's not a nice person. I mean, you can say that about other people as well, but he doesn't know. He has no kindness. He's no compassion. He treats everybody like a jerk, and he relies on pure logic to... Not pure logic, that's a different concept, but he basically justifies it with logic, right? So yeah... And he is fueled by anger at whatever it could be. You know, if, in this case, it's Free Software, but it could have been anything. Like, anything that feeds that anger, it will propel him forward. That's why he's where he is. Why the Free Software Foundation lives with it, I think, I don't know. Oh, first off, not all the board voted for him. Some people were quite unhappily surprised. They didn't get enough time to think about it or prepare any objections. As far as I can tell, that's hearsay, you know, and but they, you know, the majority of them voted for it. So why would they do it? I'm thinking they might be afraid of their own losing relevancy. I mean, look at the Republican Party. Like, they are they are all rallying behind one person. So does the Free Software Foundation. They see this person as, when he was around, we were something. Now we are less because, you know, the conversation has shifted away from them.
I have thoughts. Let Mike finish that one. Sorry.
Okay.
So thirdly, why is he back? Why are we talking about it? Well, it's an interesting topic. Look at, you posted Langduk's defense, in quotes, of this. He didn't actually defend Stallman. He was rallying around what he see like cancel culture and whatnot. Now, even he didn't say, even he criticized Stallman. Like, there is, I don't think there is, there are many people on in the community or anywhere who would say, no, what he says is completely all right. The conversation that is raging all over the planet is, I can say what the fuck I want, or no, you can't, because it hurts these other people that you should be thinking about first. And this is the same bullshit that's been in the news for, I don't know, probably since like forever. So we are having, I think we are kind of having at least three or four different conversations about three or four different topics that converge in this persona of Richard Stallman.
Yeah, I agree.
And should he be where he is? No. And last thing I want to say, and I keep saying this, there is no... Society doesn't have a mechanism for anybody to win here, because what the win here would be that people who he hurt with what he said and him would get together, they would talk it through, and all of the involved walk out with, you know, having achieved something in there. Like, people would be able to say this: no, we can't do that. The further discussion goes, the more angry everybody gets, and the deeper the trenches get. So, you know, I'm not obviously saying that he's done a lot of stupid things. Like, he said a lot of stupid things that hurt a lot of people, but there should be a mechanism for him to, the concept of him saying I'm sorry probably doesn't even come to his mind, and I think that's a failure of society. I mean, he wasn't born like that, right?
No, and just picking up on your hesitant to defend the man in any stretch of the imagination, but just when you said he's fueled by anger, there's no person who's constantly 24/7 fueled by anger. It comes into whether it's probably somewhere along the autistic spectrum or Asperger's or something like that. I'm no clinical psychologist or anything like that, so I would not be able to diagnose these conditions, but some sense of lack of social understanding. And I'm reading into this because he's made a statement of, well, I again about his very controversial comments about minors, but he's like, oh, I think this makes perfectly logical sense to me. And then he was making all of those quotes and so on. One of his quotes, which he says, which I thought was quite telling, was, oh, it was pointed out to me that there might be psychological damage for the person, the underage person involved. I have since revised my condition. Shouldn't that be fucking obvious to you? So I think that aspect of just not some level of not understanding social interactions is part of his personality, is part of his thing, whether it's somewhere along the autistic spectrum or something like that. Is just some social indifference is in him, and I don't think it's particularly deliberate or anything like that. I think that's genuinely how he sees the world. But if that is the case, then you shouldn't be in a leadership position, because that is about interacting with people. That is about how you manage the resources at your fingertips, i.e. the people that you interact with, the people who are, do the various talks or tasks within the organization. You have to build up social connections. You have to know how to interact with people. So if you're that blind to social interactions, then you shouldn't be a fucking leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. I was curious about that as well. I mean, I'm obviously, for those reasons that you just said, Connor, I'm very hesitant to hang him. You know, I'm not. People on Twitter are like, oh, you're mobbing him, and you know, cancel culture, and he's being like erased and all this shit. And it's like, I'm not saying we have to take him at the back and shoot him. Like I'm just saying he shouldn't be the fucking director in the Free Software Foundation. That one thing, like, that's all I'm not concerned about what he did or anything. I'm really, that's not the issue for me. The issue for me is preserving the reputation of our community and not associating with those comments, because like it or lump it, split all the hairs you like, the vast majority of people who see comments like that are not going to understand. They're not going to appreciate him as a person and why he would might say something like that. And we understand that, but they don't. And they're going, that's going to project onto what we do and what we're all about. And it's just going to damage the whole thing. Like, and I don't know how people can't see that.
It's going to be like, you see a person, or you can imagine a person who's on their Mac looking at, oh, these people here said I should be using what they call free software because, you know, and this all sounds reasonable. Oh, hold on. They also say that it's okay to have sex with kids.
Yeah, what's the first thing they're going to find if they Google that shit? Like,
yeah,
like, it's going to be the sensationalist, like, lowest common denominator thing.
Also, you can't have, even if he didn't have these opinions, right? Even if he was, if he never ever spoke about anything to do with sex himself at all, just the fact that he's not a leader now, he's on the board, but he was leading advocacy, an organization that was meant to go out and outreach to people and convince them to use something that's not always as easy, you know, to get out of their comfort zone and do something that's good for them. To have that kind of a guy leading that kind of an organization, it's in retrospect, obviously, it's quite strange that they got so far with him.
So I think that about wraps it up for this fortnight. Marathon discussion, but we got through it unscathed. As usual, I'm Shane.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Mike.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye.